is taken from Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may descend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your head, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this? Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. He ends the reading. So over to you, Reverend Matt, for the sermon.
Thank you so much for reading the Bible for us. Please nod your head if you can hear me. Good, because I can't see any of you. But thank you so much for having me. It is truly an honor to be able to open up God's word with you today. I'm a big fan of Milsons Point CCC. It is one of the strong and healthy Asian churches in Sydney, and it's a church that many churches, like our church, aspire to become like. So it's a huge privilege for me to be here. Thank you for having me. If you have your Bibles there with you, I'm going to ask you to keep your Bibles open there at the 24th Psalm, and we're going to see what this passage says to us today. But before we do that, I'm going to pray and ask God for help. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you love us, and we thank you that you speak to us. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures in which we hear your voice so clearly. Father, we pray that as we gather today for online church, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you want to be telling us through this psalm today. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. In America, around 17 years ago, there was a man called Timothy Treadwell. Timothy Treadwell, you might have heard the story, but 17 years ago, Timothy Treadwell, he took his girlfriend into a national park in Alaska because he wanted to show her his favorite animal, the grizzly bear. Timothy Treadwell, ever since a young boy, he had a big fascination for grizzly bears. He studied them, he devoted his life to learning about them, and every summer, he would go and live among them in the national parks. Timothy Treadwell, as he went into this national park, he thought he knew all about these animals, and he thought he knew what he was getting them into. Unfortunately, they never made it out alive. Treadwell and his girlfriend, they were killed by a grizzly bear. He thought he knew what he was dealing with, when actually he had no idea what he was getting himself into. Friends, as we gather today for church, I want to ask you this question. When we come before God, do we know who we're dealing with? Each Sunday morning, as we gather as a church family, either physically or online, as we focus our attention on God for a couple of hours every Sunday, do we really know who we're dealing with? Our God is not dangerous in the same way that a grizzly bear is dangerous, obviously. But the 24th Psalm, it tells us that our God, Yahweh, that he is the King of glory. He is a glorious king. The Bible speaks of God as a warrior who crushes his enemies. In the Bible, we see so clearly that God is perfectly holy and just and righteous. Sometimes we read of God wiping out entire nations, even his own people. The Bible tells us that Yahweh is the Holy One of Israel. He is the judge. He's referred to as the all-consuming fire. The temptation for us Christians, I think, is to think of God as a mere convenience, especially those of us who live in such an affluent part of the world like Sydney. Perhaps sometimes we view God like a cosmic vending machine. You know, at the train station, there's a vending machine there. If you need a drink, it's there for you. But if you don't need one, just whatever, right? And when you need a drink, you go, pop in a coin, out comes a drink. Maybe we treat God like a vending machine. Something goes wrong in our lives. We pop in a prayer, out comes results. Maybe we only approach God when we want something. Maybe we only approach God when someone we love is sick. And then we realize, oh, this is serious. It moves me to pray. Maybe we only approach God when our children go wayward and we become desperate. So in our desperation, we cry out to God because we need him. I wonder if for many of us Christians in Sydney, sometimes we live our lives as if God exists to serve us and not the other way around. Well, friends, the writer of this psalm, King David, he did not see God as a mere convenience. In this psalm, God is portrayed to us as the King of Glory. And in this psalm, there are three things I want to share with you about this King of Glory. Three things that this passage shows us about the King of Glory. Why, how, and who. Firstly, why? Why should we worship the King of Glory? You'll see that in verse 1 and 2. Secondly, how? How should we worship this King of Glory? Verse 3 to 6. And thirdly, who? Who is this King of Glory? We'll see that in verse 7 to 10. Why, how, and who? So firstly, why? Why should we worship the King of Glory? This passage tells us we worship the King of Glory because he is the creator of the world. Look with me in your Bibles at Psalm 24, verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 and verse 2 reads like this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Yahweh, the King of Glory, he is the creator of the world. The setting of this psalm, the context and the background to this psalm, was written most probably in King David's life when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought to Jerusalem, which is its final resting place. As you know, the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, it showed visibly the presence of God among his people. It showed God's manifest presence among God's covenant people. So as the Ark of the Covenant was coming back to the royal city, Jerusalem, this was a unique and a special occasion. The Ark of the Covenant was coming back, and most Bible commentators, they agree, this might have been the greatest day in King David's life. It's a huge event. All of the Israelites are out. It's a big show. It's a big festival, very celebratory, because God's manifest presence in the Ark of the Covenant is coming back to their land. In this psalm, the psalmist, King David, we see that he is most concerned with Yahweh, the person of God. The focus is on Yahweh. Yahweh is the central focus of this poem. We see that because in the Hebrew text, that's the first word that emphatically comes first. Yahweh owns the earth. Yahweh founded it. That's how the psalm starts. According to verse 1 and 2, the whole earth belongs to God. But not only the earth, but everything and everyone on the earth belongs to God. Why? Verse 2 tells us, because he founded it on the seas. He established it on the waters. So if you're at home today and later you go out on your balcony, you watch the sunset, look at the people walking their dogs, look at the trees on your street. As you're driving home after church today and you look at the streets, as you watch people dine at the restaurant, we need to remind ourselves, all of this, everything and everyone belongs to God. God is the owner of everything because he is the creator. And that's the first thing that the psalm shows us. Why? Why should we worship the King of Glory? We worship him because he is the creator of the world. Well, having affirmed the creative power and the supreme authority of Yahweh, the psalmist now turns his gaze upon the creature who will worship the creator. So the second point that we see is how. How should we, his creatures, how should we worship the King of Glory? According to verse 4, we are to worship the King of Glory with clean hands and a pure heart. You see, friends, this psalm was meant to be read in a liturgical way. The priest would say a line, and the people of God would respond with the next line. So it was back and forth like a liturgy. Look at verse 3 and 4 in your Bibles. Verse 3 and 4. The priest would ask, verse 3, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And the people of God, they would respond with verse 4. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. In verse 1 and 2, the psalmist has told us that the King of Glory is the owner of everything because he's a creator of everything. Then assuming verse 1 and verse 2, the author now goes tells us the standards of the King, who may ascend the mountain of Yahweh, who may stand in his holy presence. The question there in verse 3, it's asked by the priest and it's asked intentionally to cause God's people to humbly reflect on their need for divine mercy, on their need for God's kindness to them. This liturgy that we're looking at, it's a solemn confession of dependence on the merciful grace of Yahweh. All the Israelites knew that the only one who could stand in Yahweh's holy presence was someone who was pure inside and outside, someone whose life was marked by righteousness and integrity, a person who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not swear by what is false, who does not trust in an idol. The word there, clean, in verse 4, the word clean, that can also be translated as innocent. So clean hands or innocent hands, we'll talk about those who are free of guilt, guiltless ones. To be sure, not sinless, but guiltless. It is those people who are blameless in their actions who can approach God, people who are righteous inside and outside. Verse 4, a pure heart, it shifts the issue of righteousness from external action to the internal nature of a person. First, it was hands, now it's heart. So this psalm will remind the people that a right relationship with God is determined not by obedience to an external law alone, but actually by integrity, internal integrity, righteousness inside as well as outside. You might remember God saying to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. Look with me at verse 4 to 6. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. The one who is righteous inside and out, the one who is loyal and faithful to his God, the one who holds firmly onto his truth, he is the one who will receive blessing from Yahweh. Those people who strive to live this life of holiness and righteousness before God, verse 6, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Just a quick side note here, verse 5 and 6, it might seem to suggest that we might qualify for this or earn this by our character and our deeds, but it's important to know that even under the Old Covenant, people knew that their approach to God must first be preceded by a blood sacrifice. They knew that even their approach to God was actually God's mercy and grace to them. So for this, they have to look to God, who is their Savior. So in this psalm, it is God who is holy. It is God who provides for their atonement. It is God who is, verse 5, their Savior. The point of verse 3 to 6 isn't moralism. The point is not perform your best and be dutiful so that God's holiness won't kill you. That's not the point of verse 3 to 6. The purpose of verse 3 to 6 is to show the Israelites, and in turn to show you and me, who we are worshipping. This is the King of Glory. These Israelites, they need to know who he is. He's Yahweh, the King of Glory. And that's the second point. How? How should we worship the King of Glory? We should worship the King of Glory with clean hands and a pure heart, with right actions and right attitudes, with love for truth, with loyalty and devotion to the King. So far, this psalm has shown us why. Why should we worship the King of Glory? Secondly, how? How should we worship the King of Glory? Thirdly, this psalm shows us the identity of who this King of Glory is. It shows us who he is. The final four verses you have before you, verse 7 to 10, the final four verses of this psalm, it functioned as a liturgy of question and answer, back and forth. This was meant to be performed at the temple gate. In this liturgy, the group of men, the group of mighty men, probably warriors, the group of men accompany the ark to the temple gates, and what happens is they demand entrance. The function of all the Israelites watching this, as these mighty warriors demand entrance to the temple as they hold the Ark of the Covenant, the function was to emphasize the weight, the magnitude, the glory, the splendor, the majesty, and the power of their glorious God, who's the King of Glory. The repeated questions, you'll notice there, that questions are repeated. The repeated questions that come from within the temple courts that go, who is this King of Glory? They're not really questions to find out who he is. They know who he is. But these are questions asked so that they intentionally delay entrance. They delay entrance so that the claims of Yahweh can be repeated in ever more exalted form until no one can have any doubt of who this God is. Thousands and thousands of Israelites watching. They've heard it twice so that there is no doubt of who they are dealing with. This is the Lord of hosts. Yahweh Almighty, he is the King of Glory. Look with me at verse 7 to 10. Verse 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord. Strong and mighty, the Lord. Mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? Verse 8, we see there, he's Yahweh. He's Yahweh God, who is strong and mighty. He's the Master. He's the Creator. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the Vindicator. He's the Savior. Yahweh is their King of Glory. In verse 7, you'll notice there that the gates are instructed to lift up their heads. This is metaphorical language, and if your friend is having a sad day, you might have said it to them, chin up or face up or lift your head or lift your gaze. This is metaphoric language that's telling them to have joyful anticipation. Be hopeful. There's an element of hope that we can't miss in verse 7. It's announcing the hopeful and the glorious message that Yahweh has returned, that God himself has returned to be with us, his covenant people. It's declaring and it's displaying physically to all the worshippers that their God is here. Finally, in this psalm, the coming of Yahweh is combined with anticipation of God's judgment on the earth. The psalm tells us that Yahweh's coming will either result in great rejoicing for those who depend on him and seek him rightly, or it will result in judgment for those who do not. But Matt, you might ask, that's an interesting sermon, but what does it mean for my life today? What's the relevance to you and me today? I've told you a bunch of things about the Ark and the Israelites. How does this apply to you and me in 2021? Friends, this psalm, it describes to us the royal procession of the Ark of the Covenant to the temple. That's very important. Friends, here's the thing. They were in a procession back then. You and me, as Christians, we are in a procession now. But for us today, it is now no longer the Ark which leads God's people in procession, but it's Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God in the flesh, who leads his redeemed people in royal procession to the dwelling place of the living God. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 2. Paul says, But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Friends, can you see? It is Christ who leads you and me in triumphal procession because he, Jesus, has conquered Satan, our great enemy. He, Jesus, has delivered you and me from the dominion of Satan, hell, and death. In the Old Testament, it was the ark presence of God which led the royal procession to the temple in Jerusalem. But now, friends, for you and me, it is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who leads the royal procession to the new Jerusalem. He's leading us not to a physical building, but to a temple made out of living stones, according to Peter. A temple made out of you and me, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth. Right at the end of the Bible, towards the end of Revelation, John writes this. He says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people and he will dwell with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and will be their God. Church, can you see? Can you hear? It is Jesus Christ who leads you and me in royal procession to our eternal home. So, when the voice from within the New Jerusalem cries out to us, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? We, the bride of Christ, the church, we shall respond, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who has clean hands and a pure heart. Jesus Christ, who did not trust his soul to an idol or swear by a false god. And by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we will say, along with this psalmist, that we have received blessing from Yahweh. We have received righteousness and vindication from the God of our salvation. Not because of our righteousness, but because of Jesus' righteousness. We will enter the New Jerusalem, not because of our works, but because of his works on the cross achieved for us. My Christian friends, we have received tremendous blessing and mercy in spite of our sinfulness. By the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we have been brought into this royal procession. What will our response be? Well, friends, I hope our response will be something similar to the words of this psalm. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Jesus Christ, strong and mighty. Jesus Christ, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of the angelic hosts, the Lord of heaven and earth. He is the King of glory. So church, may I ask you again, when we gather together each Sunday or as we meet together in our growth groups, do we know who we're dealing with? Every morning for our quiet times when we look into his word, do we know who we're dealing with? We are dealing with a majestic God who is the creator of heaven and earth. We are dealing with the all-consuming fire, infinite in power, but gentle and generous in his love and compassion toward us. A God who is so holy, yet so loving, that he would send his one and only Son to die for our sins. Friends, this is the good news of Jesus Christ, that while we were still sinners, that God would send his Son to die for us in our place. Friends, that's the gospel, that even though we have no righteousness of our own, God gives to us our righteousness in the person of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's why we sing. That's why we worship. That's why we serve church. That's why we evangelize. That's why we make disciples of Jesus, because he is worthy, because our King of glory has given us a great task to do, You know, when COVID hit last year, went into lockdown, there was a young lady in our church, and she became a Christian not too long ago, and she was really growing in her faith. She was really growing in her enjoyment of God. And she made up a list of all her friends that she wanted to bring to Jesus. And churches obviously were shut down. And she called me out of despair, and she said, I want to evangelize, but I don't know what to do. What should I do? And to be honest, you know, I'm not the smartest guy. I said to her, I don't know. Figure it out. And to my surprise, she figured it out. What she did was she started an online blog where she would write up these letters to her friends. In addition, she would write personal letters and mail them out to her friends. And in these letters, it would be letters of love and gratitude, yet also clearly explaining the gospel that she holds dear, clearly explaining who Jesus is and why this woman has committed her life to her. Fast forward several months, we meet back at church. All seven of the recipients of those personal letters, they were with us at church. And as I speak to you right now, they're probably at church hearing God's word. Friends, our evangelism and our discipleship is not in vain, because our King of glory, he holds our hand. He walks with us. He is the God who makes all these things possible. Friends, as we roll into 2021, my genuine prayer and hope for us is that as we hear these words of God, as we see clearly this King of glory, as we meet weekly in growth groups and remind each other of who he is and what he has done for us, my hope is that we might be radically inspired to live for his glory sacrificially and passionately. May God use us to make much of Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love for us demonstrated in Jesus. Lord, we thank you that he is your King for us. Lord, we pray that you might help us to see him rightly. Help us to revere him in our lives. Help us, Lord, to respond to his kindness to us by living in delightful obedience and gratitude to him. Make much of Jesus through us as individuals and as a church, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we sing in response to God's word now?